If you have your Bible, you'd like to turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read my scripture from my iPad today because I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and I don't have a New King James Version Bible. And the reason I'm going to use the New King James Version instead of the NIV is only for one word. In this passage, we talk about abiding in Jesus. And NIV says remain. They both mean the same thing. It's just that I have, many years ago, grew up with abiding, and it feels better rolling off the tongue. So that's the only reason I'm going to do that. These passages, I want us to imagine. We have been invited into such an intimate occasion with the disciples. It's amazing when you think about. Not only have we been invited into an intimate moment with the disciples, but I believe as Jesus sat speaking to the disciples, he saw you 2,000 years later. And I think he was speaking just as much to you as he was to them in that day. Jesus has tried in some ways to prepare his disciples for what's about to come. Of course, they can't comprehend it. They just can't put it all together in their mind. Jesus knows that he is about to go to be crucified. He's going to be judged, crucified. Then he's going to raised from the dead, and then he is going to be ascended into heaven. He knows all that's about to happen. And when you think about the disciples and what Jesus was doing when he ascended, he started a church. And so he knows what it's going to take for those disciples. I mean, you imagine this. You take 12 men, kind of 11, but there's another one coming, but you take 12 men and your intentions are to spend time with them, turn them loose, and have them turn the world upside down. Can you imagine that? We pick out 12 of you right here, spend 3 years with you, and then say, now, go change the world. But like maybe a father who is about ready to go home to be with the Lord, sits maybe with his children, he senses that the end is near, and so he wants to instill within them some of the most important things in life that could impact their life. He wants to leave that before he leaves. That's Jesus. What he's telling them is what they need to know to be the agent or agents for the church that will impact the world. And so he begins, and he teaches some things. Now, the way I want to share this, the John 15 should be a series of probably 5 or 6 messages. I'm going to preach it all in one. Don't get scared. Well, maybe get a little scared, but not a whole lot scared. But I want to ask questions. Because the first question would be, and this is the title, not number one, but is, am I abiding in Jesus? Am I abiding in Jesus? If you go to the doctor and you've got some kind of an issue going on, and maybe you're asking the doctor about something, he's going to go through a list of questions. And he's going to say, well, you know, have you had a fever? Does this hurt? And what about this? And he will go through a list of questions to be able to make his diagnosis. So then he can give you the prescription that you need to do what you need to do. Since abiding in Jesus is vital, it is vital to the life of the church. It is vital to the impact that the church is supposed to make on this world. It is vital. And since it is, it would be good for us to know where we are, wouldn't it? So I'm going to read the entire thing, and then I've got a few questions that I want to ask. John 15:1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch," listen to this, "every branch that bears fruit, he prunes." So if you're doing what you're supposed to, you're going to get pruned, "that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask," this is amazing right here. "You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," his joy, "may remain in you, and that your joy," too there, "that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you," and then he ends it again, "that you love one another." Amazing passages. Those kind that you want to just sit in and try to get all the goody out of. But what I'm going to do is give you some questions and let you fill in a lot of blanks when you go home. And the very first question is, am I connected to the life of Jesus? Am I connected to the life of Jesus? He tells us there's two things here. There's some sticks there that are not producing anything. They are not connected. They're not bearing anything. They're not receiving from the life of that vine. And so the question would be is, are you connected to the very life of Jesus or not? And the only way to get connected is to come to him and accept him as your Savior. Think about this in the Garden of Eden. All of the things we're reading about right here on the Abide Me, they had all that. God, he abided in him, and they abided in him. His words were abided in them. All of this was happening in the garden until sin, until Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, the disconnection came. And no longer were we connected to the vine. But Jesus came back in the world to reconnect those who want to be connected. Are you with me? So, to connect to the very life of Jesus is to come to him and just say, "Lord, I need you." It is to be born again, as Jesus said. It is to be repentant of sin and inviting Jesus into our life to become our Savior. It is a decision for the life of Jesus. In the early service, One young man gave his heart and life to the Lord. One person saved today is worth the whole entire day. But I believe today that there are others in this room. You've gone to church. You know the lingo. You know all the stuff, but you've never really truly connected to the vine. The life of Jesus is really not flowing through. And so we're going to give you an invitation in a little while, if you are not connected, to be connected. Number two, am I experiencing seasons of pruning? He just told us that anybody that bears fruit gets pruned, right? Anyone that bears fruit gets pruned. So if we are abiding and we are bearing fruit, then we're going to get pruned. And how many of you have ever pruned? Any of you prune trees at your house? Yep. Yeah. And there are ways to prune. I learned that the hard way. There are ways to prune. There are ways not to prune. You can kill a tree if you don't prune it correctly. That's the reason I'm so glad he didn't tell me to prune you, because I would mess it up. But he does the pruning. And when he does the pruning, he knows what needs to be done. And when he prunes, he cuts away those things that rob the energy to keep us from bearing fruit. You ever noticed a tree or a bush or even in your garden? When you have plants growing, there are times that there are these little things called suckers that start to grow from around the bottom or even on some of the branches. They're little suckers. And if you don't remove those suckers will suck the energy that is needed for that plant to produce fruit. And so the only way to do it is to prune the suckers off. What is it in your life that is drawing the very energy that needs to be put into your relationship with Him, not put into fruit bearing? You don't need to put energy into bearing fruit. You need to put energy into the Lord. And when you put your energy into your relationship with Him and abide in Him, then fruit comes. So what is it that's robbing you of the energy of your relationship with the Lord and in your abiding? It can be so many things. It can be relationships. It can be worry. It can be struggles. Lots of things can come. One of the things he told the disciples here, he says, you're clean because of the word. And so what he's saying is you've been pruned. And it was the word that pruned you. It's the word that cleaned you. Is the word that made you right, righteous. It's the word that made you what you're supposed to be. And if you think about this, God wants to use His word to prune us. And if you know what I mean, James talked about the looking into the mirror, the word of God. And as we look in there, we're reading the word, we see what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like. But also the word shows us what we do look like. But it tells us how to get from what we do look like to what we're supposed to look like, right? That's the word. And that's the word that prunes us and makes us clean. It helps us. We read and we find things that need to be cut away. And so we cut away. And then there are things that God cuts away, sometimes because we won't cut it away. Does that make sense? And so He gets the snippers out and begins to do His work. Number three. Am I abiding in Jesus' love for me? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you want, it'll be done for you. If you abide in me. Are you abiding in His love? Are you abiding in Him? That's the question. And we need to go home later and we need to think about that question. Am I abiding in Him? Do I have an intimate relationship with Him? Is He more to me than some intellectual knowledge about about God or about Jesus? Is he more to me? Is he my friend? Is he my Savior? Do I walk with him daily? Do I abide in his love? Not do I know that he loves me. We all know he loves me. But in my heart, do I experience his love because I know his love? A love, not here, here. Abide. This is where we experience abiding. It can affect this, but this can also fool us into thinking that we know that he loves us, and because we know he loves us, then it's all done. It's got to be bigger than that. We have to abide in the love. Number four, is his word abiding in me? Now, this is all from the scripture, right? This is just not me, but this is what, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I mean, he comes off with this thing that's just almost unreal. He says, ask what you will and it'll be done. How do you do that? And how many of you in this room would say, but I don't believe that because I've asked things and it wasn't done. So I really don't, I mean, it sounds nice, but I really don't believe it. But it's all that part before that makes it real. Because he says, number one, is he or are we abiding in his love? Not visiting it, not occasionally thinking about him, not going out on a date occasionally with him. Are we married to him? Are we in relationship with him? Are we intimate with him? Are we abiding? And then is his word abiding in us? And he knows that when we begin to walk, when his word begins to fill our life and we begin to, we have a word-ruled mind, which means that our thinking is ruled by the authority of the scripture, but the scripture that has to be there. We can't just pull the scripture out of a vacuum. We've got to put it in. And so what he's saying is, if my word abides in you, well, think about this. If you and I were to sit down and talk long enough, you would know my heart. You would know my desires. You would know why I do what I do, the way I do, my ways. If we talked long enough, you would learn those things. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He can make the statement that ask what you want and I'll give it to you when he knows that we are experiencing him in a love relationship and he knows that our mind is ruled by his words. We're not going to ask for things that we know are contrary to what he wants. We're going to begin to desire what he desires. And the things about us that it's like maybe I want this, but when I realize that what I'm wanting is not his way, then I would rather have his way than my way. Does that make sense? And so now he can trust us to ask because our desires are his desires. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me tell you, years ago somebody told me that if I would read Proverbs, starting out, this was when I first got saved. If you'll read a proverb, there's 31 Proverbs, if you'll read one proverb a day for the month, you will have, you know, you'll have read the whole thing and you do that. And I did that for 2 years. Every day, one proverb, 2 years. I didn't really realize it at the time. But as I walked throughout my day doing whatever I did, I found that I started making decisions based upon what was in my heart from those words. They begin to affect the way I think. They affected my decisions. They affected the way I thought. A word ruled mind. So suddenly, now, his word's in there, And when something comes up, His word is coming up out of me. His word is coming. That is a word-ruled mind. We have to have that. We've got to get to a place where the word of God is so important to us. Because it's the same thing as sitting down and having a conversation with Him. And it's how He reveals Himself and who He is. Number five. I love my note takers. Am I experiencing His joy to the point that my joy is full? Am I experiencing His joy to the point that my joy is full? We talked about joy last week, didn't we? Verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." And what He is telling us is that there is no joy. We will never experience joy without His joy. But when we have His joy, then we can experience joy to the full. But we don't get it without Him. We don't get it without His joy. We talked about Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes in and they're in a situation where the walls have been rebuilt, but they really need to get back to the basics with the Word of God. So Ezra stands up and begins to read the Scriptures. And as they get down through there, the people get in despair because they hear the Scriptures and they realize what they're hearing and what they're living is so far apart. And so they begin to weep and they're in despair. And so Nehemiah says, "Come on, guys. You got to have some joy here, because how many of you know you never will get anywhere without a little bit of joy? You got to have some joy." And so Nehemiah says, "Go get you some fat. Get you something good to eat. Get you a sweet drink. Sit down, eat, drink, enjoy yourself a little bit. And then whatever's left over, or not left over, share it with people who don't have." Here's all I want to say. Some of y'all used to be fun. You just need to go have fun. You just need to go enjoy yourself. How many of you remember when you first got married? She'd walk down the hall, and you just kind of walk over and you don't do that anymore because you've lost your joy. You just don't enjoy yourself anymore. I can do this. I can get so busy, so caught up in so many things that I don't laugh, that I don't do fun stuff. I don't enjoy. I just, not experiencing. Nehemiah said, "Guys, stop crying for a minute and just go have fun. Go eat and have fun." And so here's all I want to tell you. His joy is so full that it's not the kind of joy that He wants you just to be miserable. It's a joy that says, "Hey, I've put something big in your heart. Now go have fun." And so I'm going to ask you all, this is for your homework. I'm going to ask you to do something fun this week. Do something fun. Figure it out. Do something you haven't done in a long, long time. But do something fun. Now, I know we got husbands and wives here, and what's fun for the wife is not fun for the husband. What's fun for, there are some things me and Carla know she enjoys, she enjoys people. I just don't like people, but Did I say that out loud? Carla really enjoys people, though. And I enjoy some people, and I enjoy people in small amounts. But Carla, she could, but though we differ in that, if she were to say, we're going to have so much fun, we're going to go to this party, we're going to have so much fun, and I'm saying, that ain't fun to me, though. I'm not going to enjoy it. But if I told her, guess what, honey? We're going to stay at home tonight. We're going to pop us some popcorn, sit on the couch, and watch a movie. And she's going to do it, but it wouldn't be as fun for her as the other. Is anybody tracking with me? But there's some things we have in common. And if you had seen us yesterday, so I don't know if any PETA people are, you know, listening or watching, we want to get beyond that, but Carla and I, we had two chickens that just kept getting out. And we would look down there and look, they're sitting on top of the rail on the fence, just sitting there. And then they just jump out and they just run around everywhere. And so they're just scratching my garden all to pieces and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so we decided we're gonna fix them boogers. And so we're going to clip their wings. We hadn't done it in a while. We're clipping. It's not painful. It's not painful. It's just the little ones that tell them that they can't fly. You're a chicken. You can't fly. You're not supposed. So we got inside the coop. 10 chickens running around everywhere trying to get away from us. We're trying to corner them. Here I am trying to corner, there she is, and I found out that at 62 years, you know what I'm saying? It ain't like it used to be. My mind says move. 3 seconds later, my body reacts. So those blooming chickens they're everywhere. It exhausted me trying to catch those chickens. We caught them one by one, clip their wings, throw them out, get another one, catch it, throw it out. And not a bad throw out, but we finally got all the chickens taken care of. We had a blast. We were laughing together. It was fun. It was hilarious. If you'd seen it, you would have had fun watching it. I promise you. If I had it on video, I would show you. I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be big things. It doesn't have to be expensive things. Just go have some fun this week. Let me hurry. I got a whole sermon to preach here. I'm going to kind of hurry through number 6. Am I obeying his command to love as he loves? Jesus said, I command you. Man, I mean, this is my commandment. How many of you know what a commandment is? It's a command. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. This is a command. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that because we often think of love as an emotion. And emotions can't be commanded. How many of you know emotions can just sneak up on you and you can even tell them to go away, but they'll stay right there? Emotions can't be commanded. Love can be. And Jesus commanded it. And he's saying, guys, what you don't see, I see. But what I want you to know is that there's going to be a church in Kingsport 2,000 years from now that is going to need to be loving the same way I'm telling you. And so I need you all to start it off, and I need you all to start loving the way I love so that they will love the way I love. And that kind of love is a special love, isn't it? Jesus' kind of love is a special love. It goes the extra mile. It deals. Paul said to the Galatians that, hey, when people get in error or get, you know, they get out there somewhere, he said, for us to deal with them gently. Love deals with those things gently. He tells us that love forgives. Love releases. Love as I love. All we have to do is look how Jesus loved and just do that. This is my command. Now, let me say this about emotion. Some of you need to know this. When we love because it's a decision and we're supposed to do that, meaning that if I have emotional feelings towards you that are not right, but I show love to you, guess what's going to happen? My emotions are going to catch up to that. And I'm going to start actually loving you. And I will actually feel that love. Does this make sense? See, where some of you are in your marriage right now, this will change your marriage. It's like, I don't feel love for her anymore. It doesn't matter. If you will start showing love, make the decision to show love, your emotions will catch up to that. And sooner or later, you are going to feel that love. And it's a beautiful thing. There were times in mine and Carla's life that we didn't feel emotional love. But I will tell you, right now, I never imagined my life to be where it is right now, and that I could love someone the way I love Carla. And you know she loves me. I mean, that'd be obvious. Number 7, am I bearing supernatural fruit in an increasing measure? These last, moving quickly. Am I bearing supernatural fruit in increasing measure? Let me tell you why I said supernatural. Verse 4 says, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So what he's saying is that there is a kind of fruit that is supernatural that can only come when we are connected to Jesus. That can only come when we are connected to the life of Jesus. And if we're not connected, we can't. Today, there are churches across the land where people come in, and we could do this. Do you know that we could create a church? I'm not talking about the body of Christ, but we could create a church without Jesus. How many of you know that? We could easily. All you have to do is get a good plan, get a good band, get a good speaker, and you can have a church. He doesn't even have to be anywhere near it. But it would seem like a good church. Are you tracking with me? So what he's saying is, I don't want you creating those things. I want you to be connected to the vine where my love and my anointing and my gifts and the abilities that I give you flow out of you, where it's my church and I'm doing my church with supernatural fruit. And that supernatural fruit is what brings glory to God. He said it. Supernatural fruit. The kind of fruit that we can't have, you can't muster it up, you can't make it happen. It's like plastic fruit. It's like and they're good at it these days. You go in and you see what you think is an apple in a bowl because it looks so real, and you grab it and you start to take a bite of it and you realize that it's fake. But the real ones that come from the tree that's connected to the vine, the real grapes, because they're connected to the vine, those are good. Plastic's not good, but those are good, right? And he said, I want you bearing fruit. He started out by saying there are some who bear no fruit. And then he went on to say that there are some that bear some fruit, and those I'm going to prune so that they bear more fruit. And then there's going to be a moment when you're bearing much fruit. And then there's going to be a time when you're bearing fruit that remains. He wants his fruit to remain in our life. The longer you walk with him, the more you grow with him, the more that fruit remains. Because you learn to abide in him. You learn to walk with him every day. Does that make sense? And then that fruit remains. And here's the last one. Am I walking as a friend of Jesus? Or am I walking as a servant? Am I walking as a friend, or am I walking with him as a servant? Now, I realize that we need to have a servant heart. But listen to what he says. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's the first thing. So he says there's a stipulation here for us to be friends. If you're going to be not my servant, but if you're going to be my friends, you got to do what I say. And then he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He is saying that friends, he said, you know what? You're in the know here. Servants don't know what the Father's doing. But you are my friends, and I'm going to tell you. And he's already told us, Paul said, that we have the mind of Christ. We know his plan. We have the scriptures that unveil his plan all the way to the end, into the beginning. We know. So the question is, are you friends? Think about that. Friends are loyal, aren't they? Friends are loyal to each other. They don't all, there are going to be moments. Moses had an awesome relationship with God, yet there were some moments when he and God were having some conversations. And there was a moment when God wanted to kill all the Israelites, and Moses talked him out of it. And then there was a time when Moses wanted to kill all the Israelites, and God talked him out of it. And friends. Are you walking with the Lord as a friend? Loyal, loving, caring, obeying his commands, and knowing the plan. See, if you don't know the plan, abide. Because as you abide in him, he begins to reveal his plan. He reveals his purpose for your life. He reveals his plan for your life. We see that. And we become friends. And there is nothing better than sitting with a friend and talking and laughing and just talking about life. There's just nothing better than that. And Jesus wants that with us. He wants that. He wants to talk with us. He wants to laugh with us. He wants us to experience him in that kind of an intimacy. So the question, am I walking with him as a friend? Or is he more of an acquaintance? Is he more of somebody I talk to occasionally and I know a little bit about? Or is he a friend that I sit at his feet and just take his word and just pour his word into my heart so that I know him and I know his heart and I know his love and I know his ways. That's what he desires. Let me go back to number one real quick. Are you connected? See, everything that I have talked about since then, if you're not connected, you can just forget all of it. It doesn't relate to you because you're not connected. You're just kind of a stick out there alone. But you've been given an invitation to be connected, to be born again, to be saved, to be a part of the family, to be connected to Jesus and having his life flowing through you. So I want to take a moment, if you would just bow your heads for a moment. Is there anyone here in this service that would say, Bud, I have never really accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've never been connected to the vine. I've been around it because I have family and friends that are connected, but I have never truly trusted Jesus as my Savior to become connected myself. If that's you, I'm not going to come to you. I'm just going to ask you, would you just raise your hand for a minute, and we're going to pray with you. But if you were here today and you say, I'm not connected, I need Jesus in my heart, would you just quickly raise up your hand and by that saying, I need Jesus. Lord, you know all. You know everybody here. You know where we are. And if there are those that don't know you, I pray that a seed's been planted and that you draw them to you as we lift you up. Lord, we celebrate. We celebrate you. And we choose to abide in you. To let your word abide in us. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing.